sexy, spooky bones.
And welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny, drinking some more energy drinks that I got for free from work. Fuck my heart.
Because I'm emo. And welcome to the show. Skeleton Boys. This week we are reviewing Cat Person. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. Back to John Carpenter's Suburban Scream. House next door.
Damn, which it sucks that we just reviewed Videodrome, which I really, really loved. I felt like I was low energy for it, but I really loved it.
But now you got the sweet nectar of work energy drinks.
And now I can safely tell you that Videodrome was probably crap compared to this episode of John Carpenter's Bold Suburban Statement. Screams. Because it's about a haunted house, it's about a hot, edgy alt girl next door, and it's about the most made up fucking story I've ever heard in my life.
Are you saying the people that told that they produced these stories weren't vetted? Out of edit at all?
Yeah, because I'm a liar, liar, pants on fire. This was some of the worst fucking
this guy had, what is it? Crocodile tears when he was crying about some imaginary person he made up. I can't talk.
I was in love with the girl next door, but her dad was buff. He was ripped and buff and only wore a surgeon gown.
How did this get made? Because this is easily, in the back of my mind, anytime I watch something that is supposedly like horror, spooky, but it's like docudrama series, I'm always suspicious that it's bullshit. This is probably the most bullshit one I could possibly, that I'm surprised got through, and then like, a big respected network like the Peacock made this. Maybe I answered my own question there, but
it's like the way it ends too, where like the family just disappeared. Like, oh, okay, everybody forgave this guy for fucking.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did, but he was covered in blood. I wasn't really paying attention at that point. I'm like, oh, they're covered in blood. I don't know. Whatever.
The mom died? And supposedly he never talks about his parents. So. They moved away. The parents moved away. They don't talk about it. A dentist who kills animals.
If you told me this was based on the house in Sinister, I'd be like, okay. That's kind of cool. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. This one was really dumb. Obviously bullshit. And
they're just in the most grandiose, large fucking mansion style houses I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, all right, this kid has just got mental problems.
Unfortunately,
is what they're trying to say.
Cast was very poor too. None of them were particularly good actors. And it even like had the main guy cast like a younger version and like a little bit like a teenager version. And it was kind of confusing because it was like they were like kind of way off in looks. So I just kind of feel like they just had to like, they had a set number of episodes they had to produce. So they just took whatever story.
That's whatever. Yeah, you're right. That's 100% what it feels like. Because I'm trying to find any sort of trivia that tells us this is the one of the only episodes that doesn't have something going. It's based on this. Because clearly it's fucking fake.
Like, it tries to be a little bit like Rear Window. Pervert.
Yeah, this kid is a fucking pervert. Clearly, he's trying to watch like chicks get undressed, and it's like, oh, I fell in love with this girl. I'm like, yeah, because you're gonna fucking murder her, aren't you?
Curtain jerking it.
The story turned into
there for a while. Yeah. So, just watching now their house. It's like, but why did the power flicker? Why was there a painting of the house? Why were they cut up? Why was there dead animals? Why was the guy a dentist? Why was that important? Like, at the end of this, like, all the characters were bloodied. And,
why does he see? Yeah. Well, he also saw images of, like, different people that used to be in the house flash for a little bit. He keeps telling his parents, like, no, because that house is haunted. And then dramatic music, and they're like, no, don't ever say that again. No. I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is this so dramatic?
Oh, man, dude.
Then cut back to the guy telling the story, like, and nobody believed me. I'm like,
clearly.
Shit.
Yeah, they clearly, creep, like, the direction was give us the most, you know, bang for our buck shots at angles. Doesn't need to make any sense. Looks like C movie quality here of a serial killer dentist who's behaving like, you know, Jack Torrance from The Shining or Corbin Burnson from The Dentist or something, dude. I don't know. Which.
And then they couldn't find the dad. He disappears. So the family just moves away. I guess that makes sense that they just like run away in the middle of the night before anything bad can happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. Because even the girl comes over at one point. Because he does weird shit like, oh, you weren't in class, so I did your
essay
for you.
He's a stalker.
Like, well, she hasn't gotten the assignment yet. So yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. It's got that TV show, You, energy.
And then
all
supposedly
over.
He had like another family that lived there before this one. And he had talked to another little girl there too. So he'd already been through this cycle of stalking women. Even though the way they shot it, they made it seem like the little girl was from the movie Salem's Lot, with the kid tapping at the window.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if we witnessed a short in which this serial killer is telling the story and making it seem like, and that's what really happened, because John Carpenter accidentally interviewed somebody that's a mass murderer.
You know, I will say that the score was nice. The score had some nice
I'll agree with that.
Synthy 80s vibes to it. Thank you, Cody and John, for adding that little spice to the recipe here. But other than that, it's a shame that this thing is here. It's so poor and terrible.
It is bad. Yeah. You know, should I disclose this on the air? I was gifted these gummies that have, what the fuck's that psychoactive ingredient? It's mushroom gummies.
Shiitakes.
And yeah, shiitakes. Lion's mane. And they made me super relaxed. Like, I was just happy-go-lucky about everything. And I think I saw the first half of this like, oh, wow. Good for the storytelling. And then when I finished it today, I was like, wow, this fucking thing sucks. Just telling you how good these things can be. Just alter your mood, like, oh yeah, good for them. They're trying something different. And then when I came back to my senses, my regular salty senses, I'm like, wow.
John Carpenter. His name on a lot of shit. But this is a new level of shit.
This makes The Ward seem like an okay movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So The Ward was just boring. It was uninspired.
Yeah. It was like the most run-of-the-mill thing he's ever made, I think.
He was tired. He's old. Yeah.
Because even like, Ghost of Mars is fucking some weird shit that I'm like, you know what? It's worth a watch because it's weird.
It's another one of those where he's still fighting the budget. Like, if he had just been given a couple of more million, he could have maybe made that thing better than... I mean, he can only make lemonade out of chicken shit so many times with this, the money they give him.
I think it's his bad. He could have cut some stuff, like the script supervisor.
Callback to last week's episode. Yeah. Instead of higher, because wasn't it that Courtney Love was supposed to be in it? That was like his big. This was going to be her acting.
Oh, in the ward?
No, Ghost of Mars.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then she ended up not doing it.
Who was in it after all? Ice Cube. It was the one actress that's I remember.
Pam Grier's in it. It was she's kind of a anonymous blonde from the early 2000s.
Yeah, of course. So what's her name? Naomi Watts. I'm just kidding. Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah. You know Natasha
Henstridge. Yeah. Jason Statham was in this? What the fuck? Why don't I remember that?
He probably because he sucked in it.
Lea Duvall. Yeah. Peter Jason. I remember him. Yeah. With that said, this episode was hot garbage.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think Ghost of Mars will have its reckoning, will have its day. Because I remember watching, so I had two movies to pick from, and I don't regret it. I'll tell you which two. It was in the movies. I was either going to watch Ghost of Mars or Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr. Those are the two movies that were out that weekend.
You know, Summer Catch was not that bad.
Dude, Jessica Biel and Freddie Prinze Jr., I think they played baseball with each other.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing. Then they have a summer romance, and then they got to go back to their respective towns
reason. Spoilers for Summer Catch. Hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We don't want to upset the people. But you would have picked Summer Catch over Ghost of Mars.
Oof, it might be a tie. I'm a big fan of Freddie Prinze Jr. as a thing.
I'm outraged. I don't know.
I'm just gonna say you gotta watch Summer Catch again.
I never saw it. I refused. I think I made the right choice that night. I watched Ghost of Mars.
There you go. You got to watch people get beheaded by. Disc thingies. It reminded me of I Come in Peace. Do you remember that movie, the one about the two aliens? It's a very painfully 80s film where this alien is a fugitive alien, is what I gathered towards the end, who was going around Earth collecting fluid from people's pituitary glands because that's like a drug on their planet. And this other alien comes in and he only really knows how to say, I come in peace. Or no, the bad guy does too. And they make wrist shooters that shoot CDs. They kill people because that's like best they can do. Anyway, that's our review of John Carpenter's Suburban Crap.
Okay, gun in the head. Would you do She's All That or Escape from L.A.? Sophie's choice here.
Damn. Probably She's All That.
Wow, dude, I can't believe it. Yeah. What?
That's because I'm like, I know I'm one of the few people on Earth that thought Escape from LA was fucking awesome. I know it's not Escape from New York, but...
Okay. Scooby-Doo or Vampires?
Oof. It's going to have to be Scoop. No, Vampires. I'll go Vampires.
Scooby. I don't understand how Scooby-Doo is getting a revisionist history of actually being decent. and somehow
it's just a weird movie.
Why we can't get any love for Ghost of Mars or vampires?
Vampires. Another Ed Wood or James Woods classic, right?
Yeah, that's right, James Woods. James Woods. That's a callback to last week's episode. Yeah.
I was like, how the fuck old is James Wood, this like weird conservative fuck?
He probably wasn't.
No, I think I gathered he was 36 at the time or something like that.
He just became kind of, you know, old and cancelable, wasn't he? He stopped. And he got accused of assault or something, right? Rape or something. Somebody accused him of something.
He also was on Family Guy making fun of a lot of things, and people were like, we don't understand. Yeah, James Wood was born in 47. So he's like roughly just a little bit too younger old than David Cronenberg.
I see.
Good for David Cronenberg, who's still kicking. 1943. Old as fuck.
It's still relevant, making movies.
Debbie Harry, born in 1945. That surprises me for whatever reason.
Nah, that she looks like she's had a hard life. So, yeah. All right. Terrible episode.
She did a lot of cronin' and bonin', you know what I mean?
That's true. More bonin' than cronin'.
All right, yeah, let's. You want to talk about this fucking movie now?
We're going to have to talk off air about whether you want to continue. Or should we just continue? How many episodes? Is it six?
We got three six. Left. We got three left.
We always say that, and then we...
No, let's just... I thought about it because I'm sure they're going to get shittier. But we're fucking Carpenter purists over here, and we have yet to see all of this yet. So
that's true. I've seen everything Carpenter's ever made. Except for his Elvis TV movie he made with Kurt Russell. That's the thing, one project that's eluded me because it's the TV movie.
Oh, yeah, because it's also kind of difficult. Well, maybe not anymore.
I'm sure I could probably find it. It's not a top priority find for me. But no. Maybe today. Maybe I'll go look for it today and watch it. I don't know.
It's supposed to be good.
All right. Let's move over to our main review of Cat Person. Sounds like me. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Cat Person, a film that does not include David Cronenberg's Cronin and Bonanathon series, because we have concluded that. For Cat Person, starting our animal suit. No, I'm just kidding. Coming in at number three for Cat Person, slanderous look at cat people.
Yes, I agree with that. Outraged.
Coming in at number two for Cat Person, don't shit where you eat. I think that's the point of the film.
Ah, yeah, very true.
And coming in at number one for Cat Person, there's like only one cat. That's it.
Metaphorical cat.
Yeah. Oh, no, it like jumps out at the very end for like a hot second, an orange one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Rolando, I told you, yes, I'm taken by the name of this film. I'm not even going to bother to look at a trailer. So I went into it cold.
Okay.
And I was left cold as well, I'll be honest. It's like, this was not a film made for me.
Is it because it's directed by a woman?
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like this... I can't even call it a horror movie. The only kind of horror sequences are the ones where she's... fantasizing the idea, not fantasizing, that's the wrong word, like imagining all the horrific things that this guy could have done to her or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was kind of into, because I was kind of waiting for like the big reveal of like, oh shit, yeah, like he is this person, the dude from Succession and also Sky High.
Yeah. Which to note that Nicholas Braun has really good, like, weird guy energy. Yeah. Strangely.
Yeah, seriously.
He's, you know, and he's like 100 feet tall, and yeah, he kind of knows how to be like awkward and stuff and scenes. So
that's why when he first popped up, I thought it was our boy. What's his name? Comedian. We've seen a couple things he's been in.
Jonah Rodriguez.
Yes, yes. That's what I thought it was initially, and I was like, oh no, this is somebody younger.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie didn't go anywhere.
Except
to say that there is a pattern that repeats, and that's about it.
Elaborate. What do you mean by the pattern?
Well, that's like a spoiler, I think.
Oh, because of the ending. Yeah. I gotcha. I'm going to say horror movies, through our watching and through this podcast, horror movies are not easily identifiable. I think people have a very specific idea of what a horror movie is, and you and I can attest to that. Through all the things that we've watched, horror movies can mean and be a lot of different things. It could be a lot of different genres and mixed genres and stuff. I would say this is probably, to call this a horror movie is probably the broadest thing we've ever seen. It's a stretch. It's a stretch.
If this was like an episode of Pushing Daisies, I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, it's not.
Yes.
It felt kind of like that. I mean, it didn't feel like Pushing Daisies, but it felt like the same sort of theme.
But I will say I did find the horrors that of
being
things that she
woman
went through and the thoughts that she went through and the character went through. Like horror, you know, through and through, like these terrifying experiences, which were relatable, I found, in a lot of senses, you know. So in that way, I kind of get, and I was waiting to, so there is, and I think that's a plus to the movie, is we want to find out whether or not this guy is crazy or not. But
it is so tough because there is no clear antagonist.
No.
Because even as she's going through the horrors in her head, I kept thinking, like, is the point of this movie that these things are so constant, these situations, that even though we want to say she's overreacting, which she kind of was, right?
Right.
Even throughout the beginning, I just thought, like, I mean, I feel like she's overreacting, but she's also young and she's scared. I get it. But she's also not scared. Because she does things like, let's just clarify. So the whole beginning of this movie is she works at a movie theater. She meets this tall guy who's kind of weird and goofy.
Terrible order of food. Yeah.
Like Red Vines popcorn and whatever, right?
Large red vines. So odd.
I'm sorry, California West Coasters, but you guys like flavorless licorice.
Yes.
Give me all the sugary soft shit of Twizzlers.
Pretty much.
Even then, I'm not buying that shit voluntarily.
She's a young college girl.
Hints, right? Like, but she kind of does drop the hints.
She's flirting with him and likes him. Yeah.
Then eventually he gets her number. And then they start texting a lot. And then they're going to meet, and they meet. And what happens at the first time? Something fucks up the date.
Well, I like the idea that for her whole life is like texting, and like that was the part of the relationship. So I like the fact that, like, I think it's interesting that, like, when you're dating somebody, there's like rules to texting. Don't double text. I like to kind of explain certain things. And then she immediately breaks them. And that is one of the moments where it's kind of like, what's wrong with this guy? Because it's kind of like, we were texting so well, we're having this relationship through text. And I think she feel like she overstepped her bounds because she wasn't as responding as much and stuff, which I thought that was a nice
She also had a very romanticized version of who he was via the text messages. Like, she wasn't really reading them for what they were.
Yes. Yeah. And which is kind of that exact thought, John, is echoed through the whole movie. Yes. Yeah. They clearly were two people that had different ideas and experiences. And you can chalk it up to the fact that to her being younger, less experienced, and he having, like, he's older and immature as well. They both were very immature. So.
And yeah, he ends up being in his 30s, right?
Right.
And she's only 20, which he finds out when he's trying to take her to, like, this club or whatever. And he, like, knows the bouncer. I was like, who the fuck's following me? What do they know about my dating life?
I was going to say, John, isn't this you? You need to tell me this is... Did you date somebody? Check the credits, John.
But how... I don't know. Yeah, just her inexperience. And I think they're... Okay, the quote at the beginning is something about men are afraid...
Don't like to be laughed at. And women are afraid they'll
get killed or whatever, something like that.
Right? They'll murder. They're afraid that they'll get killed. While men are afraid that they'll get laughed at, something like that.
I think that's supposed to be why she's not honest, or she's not being clear about what she wants or whatever. Which is, I think, one of the more frustrating things about this film is just I don't date that way, right? I'm just very honest and clear. Like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
But she's also...
Yeah, because then it leads into these problems.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah, like the fact that she wasn't clear, like, spoke, you know, wasn't clear about that. They both weren't, to be fair. But...
Yeah. Because he ends up being, what, 14 years older than him? Her, I mean.
Right.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, they go on their first date, and she takes him to her... Where she's... kind of TAing, right? Because Isabella Rossellini, for whatever reason, was a part of this film just to come out and be like, I'm a teacher.
You know, it's always nice to have Isabella Rossellini in a movie, so yeah. I'll take it. Did they count that as their first date? Because it wasn't their first date at the movie theater. They go to watch Star Wars. And this was like, he just comes over to her class or her study or whatever she's doing.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Yeah.
Brings her stuff. her food and stuff.
This was like another instance where I think he was just being a weirdo and, like, just curious, right? I don't think he was intentionally trying to drag her into that room. But she does something where she freaks out and the door closes by accident and it locks them in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like he was going to do it. I mean, she envisions that he's, like, going to beat her and, like, potentially rape her, right? Mm-hmm. And how the reality is, he's like, what? What's going on? The door's locked? Like, he's freaking out, too, trying to get out. And then they break through, and that's when they break the ants thing, which I'm sure is symbolism for something. Sure. I don't know. I was not into this film. I'm sorry. I was, like, trying, but... Mm-hmm.
I found that there is a lot of really, really good, like, razor sharp, very stark commentary about dating at this time.
Yeah.
And how, you know, how messy it can get if we're not clear about the things we want.
Yeah, because I don't agree with the way he handled things.
No, he's making terrible choices.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, like, where he's, like, kind of stalking her a little bit, but just so he could, like, accidentally bump into her and be like, oh, how you've been or whatever. Which is, like...
Right.
I think most of the time when you see that play out in movies, it's usually the girls doing that to the guy, right? I feel like it's what I mostly see. I watch a lot of rom-coms. And don't judge me. Okay. I'm a horror fan. Okay, I watch a lot of rom-coms.
You're a whore. Yes. Horror fan.
I just love love. Okay, and death. yeah, he also, I'm gonna guess, got really drunk one night. Oh no! Well, he went to that bar that she was at, right? Where all the friends were ordering drinks, and they're like, "Oh, that guy's here." So what I gathered was he got drunk and saw her there and didn't want to say anything, and saw she was with some guy, which I think was his her ex that's asexual now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he was there.
Yeah. So I'm guessing,
'cause I thought he was just back at home. I thought they were only talking when she went back home for semester break. I don't remember him being there, but he could have, very well could have. I was not really.
Oh no, it was those two guys. Those two guys that kept popping in, and what's her name from Blockers or Cock Blockers, right? Was being very. She's supposed to be the idea of like, just angry at men,
right?
And how they're just trying to be happy-go-lucky and fun, and she's like yelling at them. I think there's like a scene where they barge in after they're talking about what to do with this guy, who's like being kind of weird and stalkerish, and they freak out and she yells at them. But then our main girl is kind of like, they're just inviting us to a party. It doesn't matter. It's fine. And I think that's where they go to that bar or whatever, right? After that.
It was her birthday. It was one of their doormates, girlfriend birthday or some shit.
Something. Yeah. But yes. I do like that those two guys were like, hey, oh, like, our bad, I'm sorry. We'll knock next time. They're just like, like, oh, sorry. Like, I just thought it would be fun. I'm stupid, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Nick Braun's character got drunk and then did that weird classic thing 30-year-olds don't normally... Oh, I don't know. I don't know this for a fact. I think a lot of men are pretty trashy, so... He's just like aggressively texting her that she's a whore because she probably fucked that guy, and that's why she doesn't want to be with him.
Right.
But she, even though it's weird because I think they built this movie to be kind of where you want to be understanding also at the same time, because she did sleep with him, lie about having a good time, and then just ghosted him.
Right.
So, of course, he's going to get fucking weird.
Yeah, because she wasn't able to say how she felt. She didn't really enjoy dating him. She didn't really enjoy the experience back at his house.
She didn't want to have sex with him to begin with, right? But she didn't know how to say no.
Right, which is kind of like...
That was painful to watch. I was like, oh, man, that's horrible.
Well, I mean, it's a reality. That's why I find it to be pretty... It's interesting when you're able to see from somebody else's perspective the same
situation. Yeah, but situation. I'm also like, I watched My So-Called Life and Degrassi, Next Generation, so I've seen these things before.
Okay.
First episode of Degrassi, Next Generation, this girl gets coerced by some older man pretending to be a teen boy into a hotel room because the teen boy is supposed to be on a softball team that's traveling to her town, but they're able to save her right before that. Now that's television with Drake. He wasn't in that episode.
I don't know. I think that like the fact that it, I like the idea that the character spiraled into like the worst case scenarios. The absolute thought, the worst of things.
Yeah, which is a reality, yeah.
But yeah, because she doesn't know how to communicate, doesn't know how to tell people what she wants. She doesn't, you know, a lot of our issues people have is because they're not clear about the stuff they want or like or desire or, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of like she goes to extremes, and then her friend as well kind of feeds into it, and they think the worst of men, which is, it's kind of like, it's always nice to see, you know, this was written by a woman and directed by women. So
Susanna Fogel.
It's definitely interesting because I don't have that perspective it's interesting to see a woman's perspective on dating. Yeah. That is, you know, not perfect. It's not like this perfect little thing where it's messy and the she's not perfect, the guy's not perfect. They're just, you know, and I find the a lot of the stuff they were that a lot of the scenarios and stuff like that happened were pretty relatable, current, and you know, very well, like easy to relate to, you know. Yeah.
So I will say, I feel like I like the basis of the story. I just maybe don't like the way it was executed.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm starting to realize this more because you know who wrote the short story?
No.
Kristen Ropinian is her name?
Mm-hmm.
Or their name, maybe? And they are the same person that wrote the short story for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yeah, which we liked.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. But that was like another one where I was like, ah, this is kind of run of the mill. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then the ending made me like, fuck yeah, this movie's badass.
Yeah.
Also, because Pete Davidson.
Spoiler.
Throwing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you enjoy.
Beautiful.
Pete Davidson dying.
It's just like how, yeah, Pete Davidson and James Franco just like stab each other. I'm like, yeah, this is great. I love this. And Jared Leto just blows up for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I also felt like the ending was...
I wasn't satisfied with the ending either.
No.
Which we can get into in spoilers. I was a little dissatisfied because I was hoping for more because it ends pretty... In my opinion, it ends a little too neatly wrapped up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it ends on something that was kind of like... It's unsatisfying for one of the characters, the way it wraps up the story for them.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy with the way... I understand the intention of the ending, the very last shot of this movie, but I wasn't quite, like... It wasn't what I wanted from this particular resolution. Only because it seemed a little too convoluted... When I enjoyed seeing them make all of these, you know, mistakes and in their relationship with one another and sort of watching, you know, the trials and tribulations of them dating each other. So I was left dissatisfied with the ending.
I feel like if there was more of an extreme idea of the... imagination, you know, if maybe both of the characters, like, because I wouldn't even say Nicholas Braun is playing an antagonist, really, just set up to be the antagonist,
right?
Like, if they were both more extreme about their intentions or whatnot, because I do kind of like, oh, that's a spoiler though. I just think the ending would have made more sense. So I kind of want to read the short story.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is very much from her perspective, not from his, which was done intentionally to kind of put you in the mind of what they would consider this person's age, what the things they have to worry about. Which I think was the intention, you know. What does somebody in their 20s worry about when dating? What are the things they look for, and how much of a reality you know, picking a guy who's going to kill you? I mean, it's so.
But they also set him up like, of course, this guy is going to be this type of guy. But
yeah.
Then he kind of wasn't, right? Like,
he's much more like, I found him to be much more just emotionally immature.
Yeah, I felt like that was the idea. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of time to date and he's making the wrong decisions and he should have just dropped her when he found out she was 20.
Yeah. I think also, even though it's very broadly drawn, I think that there's definitely a lot of like cutting things about the guy and the mistakes he made. I feel like there's a lot of things I did that I could relate to when I'm in my 20s, the mistakes I made dating. So I definitely understand like how he behaved and how that behavior could be seen much differently from somebody else's perspective.
Yeah.
I'm also 9 foot tall, so I totally get this guy's problem. So
shit. Yeah, let's go into spoilers because I just want to talk about what happens.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So,
one cat.
there's one cat. And I was like, what a fucking shit movie. Call it cat person. There's one cat.
I wanted to throw my laptop across the room. Yeah. That was so bad.
I was like looking through the credits, like, there's got to be an animal wrangler, right? No. So clearly this wasn't.
Not a union shoot, huh? Fly by indie shit.
Clearly this isn't a remake of Stephen King's Sleepwalkers. Where she decides the best course of action, which she's also making mistakes. It's also like these shouldn't be mistakes. It's just like the reality of the world we live in, where she decides to go for a walk for whatever reason at night. And he's kind of stalking her, but she's really not that close. And then there's like making it seem like he was walking his dog, but the dog got loose and started growling at her, right? There's a lot of weird shit like that. And then it pushes her to a point where she yells at her friend and is stuck alone and decides to put a tracker on his car.
Yeah.
Because she tries to call a cop and say, hey, this guy did this, this, and this. And the cop's basically like, yeah, that sounds like men. What's the issue?
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
like welcome to the world, girl. Like, so she goes and tries to put a tracker on his car. And he's trying to basically defend his home. It's not even like he's trying to hurt her at this point. It's just like his dog. He's like, hey, don't do that. And then she's scared of him because he's coming towards her. Like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you putting on my car? Like, blah, blah, blah. So she tries to mace him, but she maces herself by accident and then bonks her own head by accident, right? Because I thought maybe he had hit her, but I think he was just trying to like take the thing away from her. She bonked her own head.
She maced herself and bonked her own head. Yeah.
So when she comes to, if he's freaking out, and it's kind of one of these things too, where like, fuck, like that is a pretty fuck situation, because now that, you know, he's on the cop's radar and the friend's radar, of course, she leaves looking like that, it's going to look bad. But he could have been more honest about it.
I still wouldn't have done what he have done. I still wouldn't have tried to prevent her to leave. Yeah, the way he behaved was like not correct at all. Yeah.
No, yeah. But it's also like, what do you do? Because I'm like, I should call the cops on you.
You should have, yeah.
But I never would have done anything that this character would have done.
Stalked her, yeah, like.
But yeah, that she did break into his house and put a tracker on his car, which is not legal either.
Yeah.
And then they get in like a scuffle because she's trying to run away. And I think this was probably the only way to really have a conflict at the end, is what I'm gathering.
Well, I mean, it's the exacerbation of like the fact that they didn't have these conversations, real conversations with each other. Had they had it, it wouldn't have led to the stuff that happened. Margot wouldn't have been making these terrible choices of feeling like her life was in danger because he was, you know, a lovesick guy. And the fact that she didn't have the courage to tell him anything, it was really the friend who texted him, who started getting the ball rolling for them to not see each other or break up.
And I think that actually worked, right? But she still felt compelled to go put the tracker in the car.
Yeah, because he had sent all those drug texts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so, yeah. And then so it's like she's kind of the idiot who is not facing her problems and sort of going to extremes now because she believes the worst in this guy.
Which he's like so emotionally immature that he's being fucking chaotic.
Right. Yeah.
I like the moments where, you know, it seems like it's going to be a big reveal that he is a super bad guy, and says like, yeah, well, you maced yourself. And I run into a lot of women that have mace and blah, blah, blah. And like, it was just a weird way to write that in the script. Right. And then she's like, oh, really? I'm not the first girl you've seen maced or had maced, or you may try to mace you. And he's like, no, because I work in like what the trauma department, I'm a nurse at the whatever, at the hospital. Maybe if you had asked me more questions about myself, you'd know this. Like, oh my God, okay. So she knows nothing about this guy, even though they've been texting forever.
Yeah.
She only has a romanticized version of who he might be.
Right, yeah.
And then exactly. How do they get
She's asking
the
all the
basement?
Wrong questions.
Yeah.
I think they were fighting and fell down there, which started the fire from a heater or something along those lines.
Yeah, the heater fell and sparked and lit on fire.
Right.
The staircase going back up. And he had a weird trap door in the ground.
Yeah.
That only went down like, I guess like 3 feet, enough for them to fit in there.
Well, I mean, it's a fucking, it's there to, again, be the choice of whether or not, you know, is this guy really, is he just the evil, you know, dungeon where he kills women? Is this really going to happen? But no, again, it subverts your expectations. He's just a sort of like an immature, fucked up guy, just like anybody else.
It's also, I don't understand how any of that would have prevented smoke inhalation, or that door would have gotten fucking hot.
Yeah, so they were pretty fucked up. They were passed out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I fully expected them to both be like cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just a door that went to like a dirt thing. I understand it's probably just like a budget thing. Like, let's just dig a fucking hole and like we'll call it. But
they were rather ashy.
Oh, that's true. You know what? There you go. Thanks, makeup department.
makeup department coming through.
Making clutch. Everything make sense. But then, yeah, that's kind of how that just kind of ends, right? Like, they're just like, now he's going to go on his own way, right? Did he get arrested or anything like that?
No, yeah, this is the part that I didn't like, was some time passed, I imagine, and the house is sold, he moved away, and that's all we know about him. He quit his job, and that's it. That was unsatisfying.
Yeah, and then we're left with another guy that's a lot like him at the movie theater again.
Being flirtatious
at the concession stand. And then asking for a number. And it's just the realization that she didn't learn anything from her like traumatic mistakes and is going to repeat the same process.
And it almost sounds like she's about to say something, right? Like, it's either yes or no or something.
But she's smiling. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And I like how this dude is like, hey, girl, with a fresh bonk on her head and some eye damage. What's up, baby? Like, no, I don't know. Because I think she still had, like, hurt, like, you know, like she had been hurt.
Yeah,
makeup.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was a little. Yeah, I mean, I get the intention of it, but I was unsatisfied with that ending. That's not really what I wanted. I wanted to, you know, I had no expectations about what I wanted, but just not that. That was a little too obvious.
And I also feel like I wouldn't be so negative towards this movie. Not like I'm being super negative towards it, but like I said, I went in cold. And I never got a horror movie.
You never got blankets. No. Hot cocoa from this movie.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I never got a horror movie, I think. So I was expecting something like extreme, like, oh shit, like, he's going to be ultra bad, or she's going to end up being the killer, or, you know, like,
Right, yeah.
But there was no killer. There was no... It was just fucked up... A fucked up dude. A young lady that's just...
Immature stuff, yeah.
Two immature people dating. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I think this is the biggest stretch of horror I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I guess it, like even Stereo.
It was.
There's something creepy about it, I guess. I don't know.
No, yeah.
No, all that's right. Cat Person.
Do you have any other thoughts?
No. Just, you know, don't call a movie Cat Person if you're only going to put one cat in it.
Touche. Alrighty. How many sex spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sex spooky bones will you give it?
Sex bones. Ooh,
sex bones. Well, I know what you know.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Cat Person Without Any Cats 5 sexy, non-assaulty spooky bones.
I'm gonna give it a 7. I think it's a good movie. Interesting movie. Funny in parts. I think it's pretty sharp, satirical look at modern dating.
I gotta admit, I don't think Nicholas Braun is very good.
I enjoy him.
He can play this type very well, but I'm also not... Our right. Boy Jonah Rodriguez could play it very well too.
Yeah, only him is he looks old. He looks like...
Sorry. Hold on. I'm getting a text from Jonah Rodriguez. He is no longer going to appear on our podcast. He
says, fuck you. I'm age appropriate. I thought it's a good movie. I think it's a mixed movie. I think it's definitely, I wanted more from the ending maybe.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy what I did see for the most part. So I'll give it 7 sexy spooky bones.
All right, Sophie's choice. This movie or Videodrome?
Oh. Remind me how many cats were in Videodrome?
It depends on your definition of cat.
Oh.
Because there was some cats on men's chests. Several men's chests.
I'm bad for that.
I mean, there were big slits.
Ah. That's tough. Nicholas Braun or Freddy Rodriguez?
It's true.
He's the new Freddy Rodriguez.
Well, if you want us to do a full in-depth episode on whether... any of these topics...
If you want to pay us to watch all of Freddy Rodriguez movies, then it's a stretch Patreon goal there. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.